I then sat down in Costa one morning in the pandemic, not when I was allowed to. I didn't break into
No,
Costa.
no.
Clarify.
Costa was not complicit in breaking into
Yeah,
its boundaries.
on the record, I broke into Costa.
Yes. Hello, everybody. Welcome back to The Next Stage. I'm Toby Vince, and I will be your host for this episode. Today, we are joined by Ray Bell and Hannah Harkett of Close to Home Productions. They are on talking about their show Identities, which is a play they describe as it's a play about boobs and it tackles breast cancer, but it's mostly about boobs, in their words. And it's a really important piece of work that I feel if you have the chance to see over the next coming months, it's touring nationally. Go and see it. We spoke to them both about the show and their company. Take a listen. Hello, everybody, and welcome back to The Next Stage. Today, I'm joined by Ray and Hannah from Identities. Hello.
Hello.
How are you both today? All right.
We're doing very well, thank
Yeah.
you. How are you?
I'm very good. I'm very good. Thank you for coming on. So, let's dive straight into things. So, for our listeners who are new to your company, just give us a bit of a rundown of who Close to Home are. So, how did you start out in theatre and what's the kind of work that you're creating?
So Close to Home was created officially in 2022. And the company was born out of Identities, the play. Close to Home is a female and non-binary led company from the Northwest. And we started wanting to tell female stories and Northern stories. And now the company has evolved. And we not only want to do that, but we also want to focus on giving opportunities to emerging talent and kind of nurturing a really healthy, kind, joyous way of working for the future of the industry.
Awesome stuff. And how did you both meet? How did the company begin in that sense?
I wrote the show and we got our first round of Arts Council funding to create the show. And I met my business partner and co-artistic director, Maya Shimin, on a Zoom in lockdown. So I trained as an actor, she's a director. I was just desperate to be creative and went on a Zoom for directors and spoke about this idea I had for this play about boobs or something or and she messaged me and was like, I'd really love to chat to you. And we kind of had a few Zooms and quickly realized how much we're on the same wavelength. We're both from the Northwest. We both really want to tell the same stories and make the same kind of work. And yeah, and then we did the first R&D and then we kind of had a conversation and we were like, we could do this. We could definitely do this together. So yeah, then the company was born.
And Hannah, how did you get involved with Close to Home?
Oh, I auditioned. So we had auditions here at the Pyramid, right? So I had a Zoom audition and then I auditioned here and I actually went in auditioning for the role of right boob, which I'm absolutely not right for. Because do you want to talk about the difference between
No,
right boob
you
and left
please, you
boob?
do it.
Okay, right boob is a bit more on it, straightforward, bookish, director's words, not mine, and left is a bit more off the rails. And Maya, I believe, and Lauren, our company stage manager, just said, oh, should we just like swap the parts and see what happens? And thus became my job forever.
I love this. Just going in, I just love the idea of going into an audition, and you know, you always have those funny stories about okay, who like you know, you come back. Oh, mum, what did you audition for? I auditioned for the part of a right boob today. You know, it's definitely one to take home for the dinner table. Listen, back to the company a little bit. So as you've mentioned, you are a Northwest female and non-binary company. How would you describe that has affected, let's call it the voice of Close to Home? How did those characteristics influence the work that you create?
I think those voices, all of our work is made by multiple voices. So identities has been created with so many incredible voices and testimonies and snippets of people's lives that we've been lucky enough to have access to. And it's just a really exciting way of working. It's so exciting making a show and going, this isn't just my show anymore. And also then creating an environment at work where hopefully people feel like they can speak their mind and have a creative input and actually collaborate. And not feel like there's, I hope that they don't feel like there's a hierarchy and that I feel like we've really created something special that is nurturing and joyful and kind. And I never, ever thought that I would do this as a job, ever. But now I'm sat here talking to you going, this makes so much sense to me.
Yeah.
And I've always wanted to be a leader and someone that does that. And I feel like we've really, really created something special. Would you add anything to that?
Yeah, I'd just say that when people are doing their best work, they're happy and comfortable. And the all-female non-binary aspect of it, I think, only helps that happen. You know, it's definitely a room where people can say what's really going on and like how much time they need for things and be honest about that. And then I think that makes the work better.
Yeah, I think that's completely true. There's we were about at the Fringe about a month ago, Edinburgh Fringe. And, you know, so I was up there for a week. We did the podcast. We did a series of special episodes for it. And something that I noticed, not just watching the work that from the people who we interviewed about, but also some people that we never spoke to, was that I think all of the work I saw has an element of truth into it, an element of personal story. Like, I don't believe that there's anything that I saw or was made that was completely fictitious. And I think it's that sort of voice, that ability to, I think, be vulnerable about your personal stories and interpret that into the work that you create that really lets audiences latch onto it, you know? It brings us on to identities a bit. So let's talk about that a bit more. So identities, it's the latest project of the company. And as of time of recording today, now touring nationally. So give... for listeners, a little shimmy shake in the recording.
Yeah.
Give us a brief synopsis of the work and what inspired you to create the piece.
So, Identities is a play about boobs and cancer, but mostly about boobs. It's been inspired originally by a personal experience of mine when I was 14, my mum was diagnosed with breast cancer. And as a young teenager, I didn't really process it properly. And then when I was 21, during the pandemic, I found a lump on my right breast. And luckily, I was fine. And it was just an anxiety thing. But it really sparked something in me that was like, whoa, I really haven't dealt with this. And I haven't looked into it. And I'm not actually looking after myself properly. I don't know much about this. I really, really believe that there's so many times that we go to the doctor or we go to the hospital and we're given something that we just take or just advice that we just absorb because that's what we're told. And actually, for me, I was like, I need to know what this is. I need to know what breast cancer actually looks like. What does it feel like? How do I support myself going forward, because my mum was 36 when she had breast cancer, so she was really, really young. So I went through the process of the screening and going to the breast clinic, and it was really scary. And thank God I had my mum who had been through it, and thank God I had such an incredible support system. But there's a lot of people that don't, and there's a lot of people that have to go through that on their own or do not go through it at all because it's such a terrifying thing. And yeah, it kind of just got me thinking. And on the other, on the more creative side, I've always been interested in the film Inside Out, you know, where they've got the...
Yes, the little Pixar animation.
Your body is such a complex thing. It's crazy how complex it is. Again, just something we don't know much about. And what would it, how would your body speak to you? Would your body like you? Would your body be happy with the choices that you've made for it? And I did like a little survey with my year at uni and said, like, can you guys all, I've written a load of questions, can you all answer these questions? And they were like, I don't know, what would your brain say if you did this? And just playing. And I then sat down in Costa one morning in the pandemic, not when I was allowed to. I didn't break into Costa.
No.
Terrifying.
Costa was not complicit in breaking into Costa.
Yeah, on the record, yes. I broke into Costa. And I wrote the first scene at the time, not anymore, which is called We Are Running. And it's a scene where the boobs are being taken running. And what would they say? Do they enjoy it? Just, yeah. And then I wrote a fan favorite scene called Brian.
Right.
And you'll have to come and watch it to find out more about the Brian scene. But whenever we meet someone who's watched the show,
they say Brian.
They say Brian. And yeah, and I went home and was like, Mom, I've written this thing and I don't know if it's any good, but could you just read it and like let me know? And she was like, this has got legs. Like, this is, there's something
it's
here.
It's also got boobs.
It's also got boobs. But and yeah, so that was the idea. The idea was this. And then we got the funding to do an R&D and we brought in the most incredible group of female Northwest women in the first year. And we like did a workshop and we looked at all these different scenarios and we improvised and made all this like detailed work on different ideas. And then I kind of collated it into a script. And then last year we took it on our first little small tour.
I love that. And you know, you've just made me think of something actually, which is, I mean, well, kind of a question in two halves. I mean, breast cancer, it's a topic that I think a lot of people find scary, but I'd also argue that kind of turns into a bit of a taboo. I'd say speaking from family experiences, like personal family experiences, it was something that we, at least from my perspective, I knew was in the family, but I never brought up because it was like, well, do I talk about this? Is it okay to talk about this? So I would sort of, I'd be interested to hear if you think, because by the sounds of it, these scenes about, you know, boobs going on a jog or Brian's scene, whatever that may be, are quite irreverent. Would you say that sort of helps tackle that taboo and encourages those conversations?
Absolutely. One of my favourite parts of Identities is speaking to women and everybody, actually, all genders, after the show. Because breast cancer is so prevalent in women and non-binary people and some men, actually. And it's a word that it's like treated like a dirty word. And what Identities does is brings humour, lightness to the dark, so that you can have those conversations and people can be honest about their own experiences. You know, we went to speak to Warrington, what was the group called?
Warrington Supper Talking. Club. Yeah.
Supper Club. And there were two amazing women there that run it. And one of them said that she didn't even know that there was a history of breast cancer in her family because none of her family had spoken about it. Mm. And one of the things she wanted to do was make sure that the young people in her family knew that that existed. Like, I have the BRCA gene in my family, so I'm far more likely to get some sort of cancer in my life. And humour in the North is how we cope with everything, especially Northern women. So yeah, I think it does do that. It does exactly what it says on the tin. It starts the conversation.
As well, we worked a lot with medical experts when like writing the script and or charities and stuff like that. And every single person we speak to is like, it's really difficult for them to watch films and theatre and just stories, because everything's so extreme.
Yeah.
Mm. When creating drama, which I understand, like, we want the drama, we love the drama, mm-hmm. but 60% of women who get breast cancer actually only have to have a lumpectomy, which is where they have a part of their breast removed, not a mastectomy or a double mastectomy where they have their whole breast, both breasts removed. But when the word breast cancer is thrown, that's the first thing that people think, that like they're going to be having both their breasts removed. And actually 60% of those cases of people who are diagnosed won't have to do that. So it was really important that we spotlighted that version of breast cancer, and that not, if you get breast cancer, it doesn't mean that that's going to end your life. It doesn't, it just doesn't mean that, like it, and it doesn't have to, your brain shouldn't go there, but because of the media and because of film and because of drama, again, and taboo, a lot of people do just assume.
Exactly, exactly that. And whilst in this research and development process of going out and speaking to women and non-binary people and others who have had these experiences with breast cancer, how would you say that has affected how the narrative has been structured, as well as your personal experiences on the subject of breast cancer? I.e., did you start out with something in your narrative and then after speaking to so many people, you're like, oh, actually, that's not going to work, or we need to focus on this a little bit more?
Yeah, just everything. Just everything. My mum is the most, I love pink. I want to go to every race for life. I want to talk about it all the time and go to parties and celebrate life. That's who my mum is. And therefore, a lot of the people in her life and in my life that have had similar experiences are like that. When we actually spoke to other people, there's a lot of people that don't like that and that don't want to have to relive things all the time and that don't want to wear pink every year in October and don't want to go and do all these events because that's not their way of dealing with it. And it was really a turning point for us when we found that out, because the show is just pink, but I guess it's quite ironic that the point is that it's ironic, but it's just so important to not assume that everyone feels the same way that you do about everything. Mm. And so that's one thing that was like very, very important to us. Also, another really interesting thing was that, and it'll always stay with me, was people say I don't want to be called a survivor. I don't want to be a survivor. And most of the women we've spoken to have said the same thing, because that means that the people who didn't make it didn't fight hard enough. Mm-hmm. And they're not survivors. They're just someone that had really bad cards dealt to them and they were lucky enough to catch it in time.
Yeah.
And their circumstances meant that they could get rid of it in time. And that really has stuck with me, because it makes so much sense. And the language that we use is so, so important. So that's something, because we had a lot of that in the show and then we removed it because it just was like a light bulb in my head. I was like, yes, yes.
Yeah, these people aren't going to war.
Yeah.
They're unwell.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Of course. And what about you, Hannah? Was there a specific moment in the research and development process that sort of made you click and alter, maybe let's say, the characterization for how you were going to do things?
It's interesting because this is the second iteration that I've been on with Identities. And I came back to this process and had a chat with the team and said, like, I feel that, you know, there's three things as an actor: human, actor, and character, which I learned from Dangerosity, this workshop that I go to every week. But with that, it means that when your human you grows, so does the actor, and inevitably so do the characters. So it's like, what does that mean for this character coming back? And I think what it meant was, it just got the performance, I hope, has just got less shallow, and everything that my boob does for the other boob is an attempt at making her better am relieving her pain. That's one thing that we've spoken about a lot in the room, of the people around you want to be there for you, but they don't always know how to do that. And there's no right way to do it. There is often a wrong way to do it. Yeah. and that only makes it harder for the person going through it. And often people who have cancer don't even tell their close family because they don't want to have to look after them.
Yeah, loads of people have said that. Loads of people have said that you end up, you're the one that ends up looking after everyone else, even though you're the sick one, because you're trying to pull everyone up and be like,
I can't have a bad day because everybody's crumbling, even though I have cancer.
Yeah.
So I guess I'm trying to channel that more this year and give a more honest, in-depth performance for how it is for somebody supporting their family through this kind of thing.
Yeah, I love that. That's a very great analysis I think you've got there, Hannah. We are going to take a quick break. We'll be right back. As part of the project, you've been working with Manchester-based charity Prevent Breast Cancer. So tell us how this partnership came about. How did you go about pitching the show?
It's just a funny story.
Okay, and you know what, go on, give me it.
So my mom is an ambassador for Prevent and they are incredible. They're actually the only charity in the UK that focus on prevention, let's solely focus on prevention, and that is really important to this project because this project is aimed at preventing and targeting younger audiences to make them more aware. And so she wrote to the director, Nikki, and said, "Hello, my daughter has this idea for a play. Could you possibly chat to her on Zoom?" So Nikki's thinking, "I've no idea who this is." I'm on Zoom and I just pop up and I'm like, "Hello, I've got this idea. I'm on my own though, so I'm going to read you the script, but just imagine when I go like this, that I'm playing this boob. And when I go to this side, I'm playing that boob." And basically read all my versions of the script to her. And last year we did a post-show Q&A for our first show and Nikki brought that story up.
Of course she did.
She said she was just sat there going, "This could be terrible or really good." And she just was on board straight away and she organized. Their presence in the company and in the project has grown a lot each year. So at first it was just like organizing interviews and giving us like merch to give out to and little cards to give out to audiences. And then last year when they watched the show properly for the first time, they just were really excited and now are massively on board. Like we're touring to community centers and they're bringing ambassadors to each show to support audiences. They've had the show filmed to use for educational purposes. They're just brilliant and they're everything that we are as a company as well. So it's just joyous to have them on board and just to have a charity partner on board. And people who, I think this industry can feel so lonely.
Yes.
Especially as an individual, it can feel really lonely. And it's just joyous to have another company who have the same ethos and the same goals as you on your side and someone that you can go to. And they're just so supportive and wonderful. And yeah, it's an absolute joy to have them.
Exactly. And you raise a really important point there. If we step aside from the fact that they're a breast cancer charity and just say that they're a charity, having, I think, that external opinion is really important when it comes to the work, especially when it's like when, you know, again, it's a charity. These are people who devote their own time and their own expertise in order to better others for literally good, no other reason. So I think having that as a theatre maker really allows you to get a more informed idea of how the piece can develop. And even, as you say, change how the piece can work. Like I imagine Identities was a very different piece before you started pairing up with Prevent Breast Cancer. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it wasn't much of a piece. It had an idea. It had like three of the funny scenes, but I'd not written any of the medical stuff prior to speaking to them because I didn't know it.
No.
Every single scene in this show that has medical jargon or the process of breast cancer is just them. It's just speaking to Dr. Cleona Kerwin, who spent so much time with us on how would a doctor say this to you? What are the exact words in that room when you get told? Who's there? What room would it be in? What time of day would it be? Like, all of that has been informed by them. And it's so important. Like, it's so important for audiences to know exactly what it would be, but also for the people who have had breast cancer to feel seen and to feel like their story is there on stage and that they can empathize with it completely.
And has it been a case of you've invited members of the public who say you surveyed in the research and development, have they been invited to come into the rehearsal space and say, this is what I think should happen? How has that kind of gone about?
Yes, they have, haven't they? They have come in. And like Gray said, the voices of these women that have gone through it as well are literally in the piece. Like, their testimonies are in the piece in a very cool, drama-y way.
Drama-y.
Yeah. So not only do they feel seen because Ray has really respected the process that these people go through, that some of them are in the show, which just makes it feel so special and very emotional for them and for us, I think.
Will you talk about Julie from Wisden as well?
Oh my goodness. We met the most wonderful woman. she's my hero, Julie. Julie is one of these people that doesn't let life happen to them. She happens to life, right? And we met her last year at Shakespeare North. Sat with her for ages. And now we're going to Wisden Hospital to do a performance in front of 150 people because she's just this fantastic woman. Like, she ran a breast festival,
a breastival,
if you will, for these people. She wears pink all the time. She is the epitome of what Identities is in terms of like finding the joy in life. And she's been so supportive. She contacts radio stations when we go on them. She's just taken us under her wing. And we love her.
We love her. And yeah. We just feel so lucky that we've met her and that she just came and watched the show on a whim. But
with her friends.
But
as well,
but she's now heavily involved in the community show. So we've got the studio show, which is the show that starts tonight. And then the community version, which has a different set and like is adaptable to a community. And she was the inspiration for that. So she's been into rehearsals to watch it and give feedback and like, how do we make this show as beautiful and exciting as the studio performance? So she's been really heavily involved in that. And it's just mint, isn't it?
She's amazing.
I love it. I'm just expecting, like within 3 days of this episode being released, an email from Julie from Wisden through.
And it won't be 3 days.
It'll be 3 hours. All right, well, hello, Julie from Wisden.
Yes, we love you.
Listen, alongside the show, you've touched upon this. You're offering workshops which are going to be held in schools and colleges alongside the duration of the tour. And these are going to offer audiences and other members of the public to get involved with the project directly. So what do these workshops include? And who do you want to engage with as part of these workshop series?
So there's two different workshops that we hold. So there's the ones that go into schools and colleges, and now they are called methodology workshops. And Maya, the co-artistic director and director, is the most incredible, like, inclusive, smart. She's just very, very good at her job. And her job isn't just being a director, but it's also being a workshop leader and facilitator. And she's created this really lovely outline of a workshop to take to young people, to teach them about the way we work as a company. And we adapt it depending on where we're going. So we were at my old college on Monday, which was just joyous. And we worked with the 16 and 17 year olds on methodology and devising, and how do we devise that's a bit different to how they'll have learnt. But then in when we go to Hull, we're going to a school called Life Skills, and we have created a workshop that's more sensory, because that's how the children would learn better. So we're like creating as we go, and it's really exciting and just joyous and lovely. And then obviously they all get invited to the show, and they kind of get to see if the work that we've done with them mirrors the work that we put on stage. So that's the methodology workshop. And then the other workshop that runs alongside the community piece is called Our Breasts and What They Mean to Us. And it's kind of like, this show was created to try and encourage conversation. So it's kind of holding a space after the show, after the performance, for people to have a conversation about their bodies. And we encourage people to write a letter to their boobs, or their chests, and what would they say to their breasts, and what funny story would they talk about with their chest. And it just kind of allows for a space where people can have those conversations without it feeling like, with some nutty women running it that are gonna be more chaotic than you could ever imagine and say things that are gonna make you comfortable. And those communities are going to be completely different in every space. So we're really adapting that again. I think it's so important when you're going into community spaces to make sure that you have a huge understanding of what that community is, what their what they need, what their beliefs are, what their needs are. And we are therefore making sure that every single workshop is just an outline and like a skeleton, and that we then speak and make sure that it's all good and groovy and juicy, and we take it in, and it ultimately always changes when we're there.
I think it's very important, especially with a show of this nature, to not just be, you sit down in the theatre, you watch the show, and then you go. I think sort of opening up the space a bit more and saying, look, let's have a chat about this, even with like you say, like a post-show Q&A, have a chat with the people who you've engaged with, I think allows not just conversation for yourselves in a sense of, okay, this is what the show meant to these people, this is what we can take and can run with, but also for an audience. I think when seeing a show like this, you sort of get that feeling, don't you, where you feel compelled to tell a story about yourself. And I'm certain you must have had some incredible stories come up from these just post-show Q&As from people who have seen your work and said, I felt so moved by this that I need to tell you my experiences with breast cancer. You know, I won't ask you to share them because they are personal, of course, but I can imagine how important these conversations can be.
So, I mean, I can think of already, there's like one that really sticks out of after a post-show Q&A, and a lady chatted to me after, and I just couldn't, I was so proud of the work in that moment, more than any review that we've had, because it was clearly a lot for her to come and do that, and it was a lot for the show and for the project and for the team, and it's just what it's about, really. Like, we all want to be on stage getting a round of applause, like, that's great, but actually ultimately it's about making a difference and using theatre to tell stories and give information in a way that maybe feels kinder and more accessible for people.
Yeah, it gives a really good closure for people after watching the show, because you're right, that burning need when you've seen yourself on stage to like say it out loud, sometimes that can be really important. So it's important to hold space for those people.
Which we do at every venue. We've got like a little nice quiet, well, I don't know what we're calling it, not quiet, chill out.
Decompression zone.
where there'll be tissues and there'll be places to write things down, and there'll be ambassadors in there just for audiences who just need a minute to, or need to go and chat.
I absolutely love that. Listen, Ray and Hannah, thank you so much for coming on and talking to us about identities. I do have to ask you, for the namesake of the podcast, what is the next stage for identities and close to home? So what can we expect from the show and the company in the future?
Whew, okay, so Arts Council depending. Arts Council, if you're listening.
Give us your money.
We need you. Firstly, we would love to take identities to the fringe. That's not what the Arts Council can help with, unfortunately. But we would love Edinburgh, especially the group of people that go and watch the fringe, are our target for this show, are our target audience. Prevent Breast Cancer would be really up for like it not just being a show. So it hopefully being like the show and the support around it. How do we get that to Edinburgh? We'd really love to, and we think it would do so well. Yeah,
and
Edinburgh.
We just had a really good time in Edinburgh in August with Burning Down the Horse.
Yes.
We're always ready to go back.
Yeah. So that's one, that's like identities. And then all the wraparound stuff. Oh, we didn't mention that we have employed 7 trainees.
Ah, yes.
So as part of our ethos as a company, it's nurturing, it's how do we make pathways for young people? Because we wouldn't be here without the people that opened the door for us. So we're like, how do we create that path? So we have a thing called a 3-tier development program where each department has a mentor in the industry. So like sound design will have a mentor in the industry that has loads of experience, our sound department, and then we have a trainee. So the trainee is someone, a female or non-binary artist that's emerging that maybe hasn't got the financial ability to go and do a degree, or they just need a step up. So we've got the most incredible 7 trainees working with us on this project. And that is something that we're really passionate about going forward. So basically the idea is that for every project that we do, the funding will not only cover us, but we'll give an opportunity for someone to come and work with us, see how we work and get a credit and try and get them some, like a springboard.
A leg up
into the industry.
And again, it's a really, really, really important thing, I think, to do, especially because I mean, granted, as you said, you were only established in like last year, so you're still a new company, and being able to have that opportunity realistically at the exposition of the company is a really good one, because it allows you the chance to explore, but also as you say, creatives who wouldn't be able to have that option, if whether it be financially or geographically or whatever, giving them that chance to express themselves it doesn't need to be said how important that is. Once again, thank you so much for coming on the podcast. Where can we find you both socially, online?
So our company's Instagram is Close to Home Productions. X Twitter is Close to Home Prod. Then my Instagram is raybell228.
Nice. 228, I like it.
You've got 10.
Mine is, yes. My acting account is at Hannah Harkett, HARQUART.
And I don't know when this will be going out, but we're really, really keen to meet people. So if you are someone, like, check out our tour dates. We're going all over the UK. If you're someone that wants to come and watch the show and connect with us and you can't afford to come, please do still get in touch with us, because we want to meet you, and we have Arts Council funding. So there is scope for us to try and get you a comp ticket, and we'd love to meet you and connect with you and hopefully nurture a relationship going forward.
Of course. And as Ray and Hannah have mentioned, all of the relevant information I'll put in the episode description. That includes the tour dates, so where you'll be playing, when, what time. Links to ticket details will be found in the description. And I'll make sure to put in your contact stuff as well. So if you can't make a show, then get in touch with Close to Home and they'll be able to help you out. Thank you again so much for coming on. And honestly, best of luck for the tour ahead.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. And that was Close to Home with Identities. You can find all of the relevant information for their show in the episode description, as well as any of the tour dates, and you can get your tickets. I honestly highly encourage you to go and see this. Get involved with this company. As you know, we've established that they're a new company, but they really want to just get in touch with people who are not just people who have experiences of breast cancer, be it somebody who has lived through breast cancer or somebody who knows someone who has lived through breast cancer. But also, if you are a creative, if you're somebody who just wants that little extra step in the theatre world or the performance world, and you just feel as if you're so close but you can't quite reach it, get in touch with them. They have Arts Council funding that is designed to help for this. I will give you all of the relevant information, as I said, in the episode description, so go down and take a look. Thank you again so much for listening. I'm Toby Vince, and we'll see you at the next stage.